I'm Robert Stage in studio. We're listening to music from James and the Giant Peach, a show from Oregon Children's Theater that our special guest Stan Foote directed in 2016. Earlier this year, Stan announced his retirement after 28 years as artistic director of Oregon Children's Theater. During this time, he has created, directed, and produced impressive productions. He's given opportunities to talent of all ages to work in the company's award-winning productions. We'll hear about Stan Foote's top highlights with the company and his history with Portland Theater before he moves to Mexico. Boo-hoo. And we'll also be taking phone calls. Yes, phone calls at KBOO. I rarely do this during the show, so you can send your good wishes to Stan. This is a live edition of Stage and Studio. Oh, we could have let that play out, but that was okay. That was a good song. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yeah. James and the Giant Peach was a fun, fun show.
I'm Dee Mae Roberts. With me live in the KBOO studio is the legendary, do you like that? Legendary.
Yeah, well.
Portland Theater veteran and artistic director of Oregon Children's Theater, Stan Foote. And welcome back to perhaps your last show on KBOO on Stage and Studio.
Well, thanks for having me all these times. And I don't know.
Well, you never say never.
Never say never. Love last.
When is your last day at OCT coming up?
August 31st.
Yeah, it's coming up.
That's the official day, but there's a going away party on the 6th. There's Stan Foote Day in the city of Portland.
And you got your gala on August 24th.
Yeah,
and that's
so
coming up.
Lots of
there's
last.
some things. Yeah,
lots of last. That James and the Giant Peach song, it illustrates a lot about OCT. Ada Valentine played James. Ada's mom, Danielle, played Ladybug. Danielle was on stage at OCT when she was 11 years old.
Wow.
So it's a generational theater company.
Yeah. Well, you know, anyone who knows Stan through the generations and wants to say goodbye or just share a memory or thought, call KBOO right now. During this live show from 11 to 11:30 a.m., 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And that's the number to call if you want to say hi to Stan and just share a memory. So, Stan, I'm going to do some rapid fire type questions right now.
Perfect.
Kind of like, you know, actor studio type, right? So short responses. This may be difficult. So top three Oregon Children's Theater shows you've directed. What are they?
And in This Corner, Cassius Clay, Alice and Wonderland, Ferdinand the Bull.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Top three shows you've worked on before Oregon Children's Theater.
Jesus Christ Superstar, a stage reading of Falsetto Land.
It's hard.
Gotta say Chess.
Chess. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You did well. And so the top three things you're most proud of doing at OCT as an organization. Now that could take longer.
Kids.
Yeah.
So, I went into this because I didn't have mentors when I was a kid. I had intersections, but not people that ever told me it was possible, and that theater was important, and did pretty well without that. But there's something about someone saying, you've got this, you've got this, you've got this, and whole organizations built around the benefit, the heart of a child, what they want and need in their lives as far as mentorship, as far as entertainment, as far as experiences. And that's a two-way street. I also get back from that. So,
well, you say kids, but there are also people who have grown up through the last 28 years and have stayed, you know, working with Oregon Children's Theater.
Even longer. I had a lunch with Bridie Harrington yesterday, and she was a student of mine when she was 11 years old at Lakewood Theater Company. So I've been teaching since I arrived in Portland.
Wow. Must feel good. To have that connection.
I am very surprised and happy about the life I've had, yes.
Well, and then here's my vital. What's the top three things you'll miss about living in Portland?
People, but I hope to see them. I love the rivers. I love the friendly vibe of this community. It's what made it a good home for me, where people walk down the street, and if you happen to be looking at a map or looking like you're lost, I've done it. I've seen people do it. Someone will walk up to you and say, "What are you looking for? I can help you." And that is still an essential part of this community. I love that.
Well, let's get back to Oregon Children's Theater. What was it like before you became the artistic director of 28 years ago?
I was, the first time I walked into Oregon Children's Theater, they were doing Treasure Island. And it was at the Keller Auditorium, 3,000 seats. I walked in and I went, I want to do this. So it was a big scale productions for lots of people at a time. We produced maybe 20 days out of a year.
Wow.
And now we're constantly producing 8 shows a season, smaller venues, more tailored to our community, and more trying to make sure that we have something for every single child in our community, not this mass appeal thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm DMA Roberts. My guest is Stan Foote, Artistic Director of Oregon Children's Theater, who is retiring after 28 years. And if you know Stan, would like to wish him well or share a memory, call in right now at 503-231-8187. We'll get you on the air. Stan, you know, we share similar roots of growing up. I mean, you know, at least from like age 10, I've been living in Oregon in a small town. But tell us about where you grew up, how seeing a stage play changed your life.
My formative years were from Shingletown, California. My dad was a logger. We were very poor. My first theater experience was a grade school teacher, Mrs. Gwynn. She did plays. I was just over the top about actually doing a play. I didn't see professional theater until I was in college. The first thing I saw that was an arts experience where people were actually getting paid was a symphony. And I had a music teacher that took me down to the symphony in Redding, California. And I was just blown away by the whole experience that people would sit and watch music and pay for that, and that people were getting paid on stage. I believe they were getting paid on stage. I was overwhelmed by it. And that's in Redding.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I relate to that because I grew up, my family were mill workers.
Right.
You know, and so I kind of relate to that. And seeing Romeo and Juliet, I remember that. I think it was in junior high. We were taken to another location because we didn't have a theater program. And we went to a little bigger town. And it just really changed my life to see high school students doing that. You know, and I thought, well, wow, you know, that means that young people can do this kind of work.
Yeah, I believe arts encourage a lot of things in youth, and it's not just necessarily being performers. Opening up that headspace to there are other ways to view, another lens to view the world with, is an amazing asset that we can leave young people.
Oh, well, we do have a caller, and you want to take a call? Do you know Mike Proser?
I do.
He's on hold. Mike Proser, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey.
Hi, Mike.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good.
Do you have a memory you want to share with Stan, or do you have?
I do. I may be one of the oldest people in Portland who has been a protege of Stan from his grade school youth. I'm turning 50 next year, and he started teaching kids at a young age and inspiring people, you know, back in the old days at Lake Oswego Community Theater, at the old church and at the community center. And I was in a production that he directed of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs at Bashful. But I probably wouldn't have gotten into theater had I not seen Stan play Flint in Something's Afoot.
Oh my
and
gosh.
I saw him and Michael's Michael Dexter's sets really inspired me to get into theater. So,
and so it sounds like
and thank you for that.
Well, it sounds like he had a great impact on your life.
Oh yes, yes. I continued on. I don't do much theater anymore, but I do a lot of film and TV work. So,
But every kid that I come across has had a great impact on my life. So it's very reciprocal. I remember that production well. It was so much fun. It was full of kids. It was the first show in the, what is the theater complex now? It was in the gymnasium before they turned it into a theater, Lakewood Center.
Yep.
So, Mike, have you followed Stan's career throughout, you know, Oregon Children's Theater? Do you have any things you want to say about that?
I kept tabs on him later in life. He came back into the picture just because I noticed that, I didn't realize he was running the Children's Theater. And he happens to be working with my old friend Marcy Croson, too, who directed me in my thesis project in college, ironically. So.
Oh, you went to U of O?
Yeah.
Oh, so did I.
SOU.
SOU. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing your memory, Mike. And any final words to Stan?
Well, you know, enjoy Mexico, my friend. Enjoy the sunshine and relax and do all those things that you didn't get a chance to do while you were busy being inspired by other things. So
there's a likelihood that I'm going to be doing theater down there. The condo unit that I leased has a 45-seat theater, undeveloped theater in the building. So
you had talked about that. So I think you can get plenty of actors.
But I think it will be a different experience.
Well, thanks so much for calling in, Mike, and sharing your memory.
Thanks, brother.
Take care, Stan. Love you, buddy.
Love you, too.
Yeah, we talked about that condo that you're going to be staying in, and you're going to probably still continue doing theater down there.
I love theater. I'm anxious to not have huge responsibilities, and directing and teaching have always been the joy of theater for me. So not having the responsibilities of payroll and bigger things is huge. So
yeah,
get back to my love again.
Get back to the love of the art. This is Stage and Studio. I'm DMA Roberts with my guest, Stan Foote, Artistic Director of Oregon Children's Theater. He's retiring after 28 years. If you want to share a memory or wish Stan well, call in at 503-231-8187. This is a live show. So, Stan, describe the Portland Theater life community in the early days when you started. What was theater like?
Well, it was a lot more accessible. I moved to town and auditioned within 2 weeks and was cast in a show. I didn't have headshots. It wasn't that professional edge that is here now. It was a little bit wild, wild west. You had storefront theater doing extremely avant-garde stuff. They came out of Portland State. You could go to one of their shows for cans of food. They had a show called Salome at Russell Street where they hauled in dirt and threw on the floor and people were emerging from dirt. Crazy stuff and some geniuses. I owe a lot of the reason I got to be a director to some of those early directors in town who I got to see their work. And if you saw a Rick Young piece, it was like, oh, this is so weird. But you would always see a piece of, oh, I want to be able to do that moment on stage. I want someone to just disappear and the audience forget about them and then them reappear and you go, oh, my God.
Yeah, I remember a production of Rick Young's where I don't remember. I think it was Mask of the Red Death. I'm not sure. But there was like a lot of blood, you know, coming off and a lot of nudity.
Yeah, lots of blood, lots of nudity. Very base. Very.
Yeah, but yeah, it kind of got
yeah, but
to you.
ART yeah. was in the early days yes. over at the Y. And
I remember that so fondly. Actually.
Yeah. And I got to work at ART in those early days. And I loved that. It was the community was the same tightness it is now, but everybody was pretty much scrambling for money and scrambling for actors and just doing art.
But it was also risky theater
and
edgy. Yeah. Well, who were some of your mentors and colleagues? You started to mention some.
Oh, my earliest mentor, directing mentor, is a guy named Ralph McCoy, who's passed. I did a show, a summer stock show in Redding, California, Godspell, and he actually let me look at his directing book. I saw how he notated scenes, talked about arc, talked about overall concept. Didn't know he was mentoring me to be a director. He came out of San Francisco State, San Francisco State University. Diane Schuster, who came into town and had 1 year of theater in Portland, and then the company went bankrupt. I was production manager for that company. I got to watch four directors work. So lots of people watching their work. I loved watching Rick Young's work. John Zagoni in the early days, loved watching his work at Storefront Theater. Many directors.
And you've passed that philosophy of mentorship on through your work at Oregon Children's Theater, too.
Yeah, we have the Young Professional Program, and it's a program that helps create theater talent, but more importantly, just good human beings in the world, promotes empathy, a way to think about the world that is a little bit different than just, I got to make some money.
Well, I want to talk more about that, but I also want to mention that you met the love of your life in Portland Theater, didn't you?
I did. I had a set up on a blind date by Jim Edson, who used to act in Portland, and Linda Hershey, who was a tap dancer friend, musical theater person in Portland, and they introduced me to RD. We had a blind date at the Virginia Cafe. And I ended up staying at his house for a month. And then we were together for 35 years. So Wow. It was very perfect.
Well, I mean, I love hearing stories like that, long-term relationships like that. And it's beautiful, you know. It doesn't always happen in theater, too, because theater's crazy, you know. And it can be, you know, kind of unstable sometimes.
Well,
you know?
Fall in love with a whole group of people for a 12-week period.
There you go.
Yeah. You know, and that is as real as long-term relationships. And sometimes that's so hard, difficult when you
have to say goodbye.
Yeah. So, but Artie and I weren't in a show together. It was a blind date, and it worked.
That's so good. That's so good. Well, I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio. If you missed any of the show so far, it'll be online at stageandstudio.org or kboo.fm/stageandstudio. I'm with Stan Foote, Artistic Director of Oregon Children's Theater. He's retiring after 28 years. Call in, share your memory with Stan at 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. You've commissioned and created new plays at Oregon Children's Theater, and you know, talk about some of the most challenging shows, because I've loved a lot of the new productions that you've done. You know, Cassius Clay, Tomas and the Library Lady, the Sacagawea play, I remember.
Right.
Man, you know, at a time when there wasn't really much of Indigenous theater at all.
I didn't quite know that was challenging. I was sort of naive enough to think, okay, so there are, you know, 7 Native American indigenous parts in this show, there were more, there were 9. Of the cast, there were only 3 white actors called for. I didn't really think about that being a problem. I just went to work. So I got an actress from Seattle, an actor from Olympia, set in a Native American dance class to get a choreographer for about 4 weeks without Rebecca even talking to me, just sat there and watched her work. It seemed natural. And after it was done, Eric Coble, who wrote the piece, said, you know, that will not ever happen again.
Wow. And did it?
No. No. Not with that group. But there are more Indigenous actors. There's more sensitivity to, I mean.
But this was like, what, 15 years ago?
Yeah. 2003 or 2004.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Talk about, you know, what else, you know, did you find challenging for some of the productions?
Boy,
what were the challenges that you feel really proud of that you
overcame?
I love overcame?
The Giver.
Yes, let's talk about that, because that was a project you had on wait for a long time. Right.
I loved getting it. And again, that naive thing of, oh, I like this book, I'll just try to get it. And not understanding that I got the rights in between Jeff Bridges having rights for the movie. I called at the right time.
You called Lois Lowry's agent and said yes. And you wrote a new script, actually.
And then met Lois. That was a challenge, but it's also one of those, and that should have been on my favorite list of shows, that massive Keller Auditorium usually was an obstacle. And there was a scene in that show with Ryan, who played the kid in The Giver, on stage by himself, with a bicycle surrounded by this mass of nothingness that would be hard to create in a small space. That loneliness of a 12-year-old taking off on his own to save the world. It made me weep.
Yeah, beautiful image, which we have on the KBOO website at kboo.fm/stage-and-studio.
And that play has been produced 300 times at least nationally and internationally.
That same one that you
commissioned? Same script. And what I love about that is every time it's done, it has to say originally commissioned at Oregon Children's Theater.
Wow.
And there are about 20 of those running around.
That was originally done at OCT
since I started. Yeah,
that is something to be proud of.
Yeah, it's what we as theater people want to do, and it is an opportunity that was given me by just being with the company to go, oh, I can create something new. I can create something from the beginning, which is so cool.
Well, do you want to give a shout out to the company, to the people that you've worked with through the years at Oregon Children's Theater?
When I first started, there's this core group. So it was myself, Sharon Martell, who was marketing, Tisha Evans, who was accounting, Danny Baldwin, who was in charge of the Acting Academy, Sandra, Kay Spillman, who is still at OCT, and it was just a blast. It's still a blast, but it was a blast to come and work. We got in trouble one time for having a rubber band fight. There were thousands of rubber bands laying on the floor, and Sandra walked in and said, no more rubber band fights. The minute Sandra retired, we had a huge rubber band fight. So Sandra Perlman, who started the company, and then we added Ross McKean as managing director, has been a good partner in all of these things. Marcy Croson, who's going to be the interim artistic director, who's got awards and brought original plays to fruition on our stage. It is a place where artists have a home.
Well, what is your hope for this home for OCT as it continues to grow? And it's going to change.
I know it's going to change. That doesn't bother me. Things change. As a director, some directors want to go back to the show, and it's exactly like they directed it. Every little minute is exactly the same. And I've never been that way. Theater evolves, theater grows, a show needs to grow, it needs to get better. You bring people in to make it a better thing, not to do exactly what you want. And it is going to change, it is going to grow. I think that's excellent. I know that at the heart of OCT will always be that single child. That child that walks in to see a show, that child that walks in to see a class, that young person who walks in with their parent, and the parent says, my child likes theater, I don't know what to do. At the heart of the company, that is the big thing, that single child.
Wow. Yeah, and I imagine that you're going to keep visiting the child through the years.
I'm pretty much still a child.
Stay in touch anyway.
Yeah.
Well, one last time, why don't you let us know what's happening at Oregon Children's Theater? Do you want to do a shout out for the upcoming season?
Which you're directing in, which makes me so happy.
Oh, well, I want to extend a personal thank you for that, for including me in the upcoming season.
Opening the season with me, Jane, it'll be the second production of this musical. It comes out of Kennedy Center. It's about Jane Goodall as a child. And it is an exciting piece. Then a kid favorite, Dragons Love Tacos.
That title.
I love the title, but it's been on the New York Times bestseller list for 450-something weeks. I mean, it is, we think of children's theater has to be education, but sometimes the consumer wants to see something they like, and that is their show. After that, The Journal of Benyachita, directed by you.
Yeah, and also...
And that is a beautiful script.
It's a Japanese-American internment show, which also features our very own Jenna Yokoyama.
Yes.
At KBOO, in a leading role.
And it's just a well-written piece. And then the return
and it's
of...
it's timely, too.
Yeah. Yes, we have... We have people behind bars in cages
barbed wire,
now in the United States. This is... we need to pay attention. Don't get me going. The Very Hungry Caterpillar Show, it's a repeat, but two new stories. And then Last Stop on Market Street, which is a musical that is, Chicago Times called it the Hamilton for kids. So it's a great season.
Well, it's this is your legacy. For your last season that you chose, and with a group of people, of course.
With a group of people, yes.
As an organization. I was just wondering, in our closing, what makes Portland such a theater town? I mean, there's more than 100 groups and organizations doing work throughout the year in the Tri-Metro area. Why is there so much love for it?
It reminds me, I've read the history of early Chicago theater, how Chicago theater evolved, and it's all people-centric. I don't know the why. I just know creative people feel welcome in Portland, Oregon, and that means creative things will happen. I hope that continues. One of the things is space is a huge problem for creative groups right now, and there needs to be a way to open up space for theater, for dance, for art in general. But the people will keep coming. It's amazing when you're sitting and someone calls you and says, oh yeah, I just came from Brown University, Carrie Ryan. I interviewed her 4 days after she came into town, and I said, I don't have anything for you. She works for the company now. New people are coming every single day, and that's a wealth of ideas and creativity, but the town is welcoming, and I believe that's part of it. But we also have to create space for art if we want a city that is centered around art.
Yeah, that's the top issue right now. Very, very well spoke. Stan Foote, you have given so much to the Portland theater community. I'm glad you were honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award by the Portland Drammy Committee. And earlier this year, you won the Harold Oakes Award for Sustained Excellence in Theater for Young Audiences. Most of all, you are leaving a great legacy of great work, and multitudes of people you have inspired. You have changed lives and made this community a better place. So, Stan Foote, thank you for everything that you've done for Portland Theater, that you've contributed to. And I hope I get to interview you again someday.
That would be fun. Or at least come down and hang out on the beach.
That's a date, And maybe I'll do a reading at that small community center.
There you go.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Stan.
Thank you.
And
thank you, Portland.
And let's just say goodbye for now.
Goodbye for now.
That's it for Stage and Studio. I'll have the podcast online at stageandstudio.org and kboo.fm/stageandstudio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts. We're going out with more of Oregon Children's Theater Song from James and the Giant Peach.